What if the greatest threat to your mind isn't external propaganda, but ideas that function like biological parasites, hijacking your reasoning, distorting your perception, and compelling you to spread them to others? This unsettling possibility sits at the heart of a provocative analysis of modern intellectual life. Drawing from personal experience fleeing religious persecution in Lebanon's civil war and decades observing academia's transformation, this perspective offers a diagnosis. Certain ideologies operate exactly like parasites in nature, manipulating host behavior for their own survival. Just as Toxoplasma gondii makes mice lose their fear of cats, these mental parasites make otherwise intelligent people reject obvious truths. Whether this diagnosis resonates or repels you, understanding how ideas can function parasitically reveals something profound about our current cultural moment and the battles raging across campuses, newsrooms, and dinner tables. Growing up Jewish in 1960s Beirut meant navigating precarious existence. Lebanon's Jewish population had plummeted from over 20,000 to mere hundreds. The danger became visceral when an elementary school classmate announced his dream of becoming a Jew killer to thunderous applause. When civil war erupted in 1975, neighbors transformed overnight into potential executioners. Ahmad, a longtime service worker, appeared at their door during heavy fighting, his conversation shifting from casual to menacing. His parting words, "I'll be back for you." Escape required paying PLO militia members to escort the family through active gunfire to the airport. Only in Canadian airspace did his mother place a Star of David around his neck. Now you can wear this and be proud of who you are. These experiences forged two unshakable commitments, freedom and truth. This refugee-turned-professor now engages across platforms, from peer-reviewed journals to Joe Rogan's podcast, reaching millions. The freedom-seeking spirit that rebelled against religious conformity now manifests as intellectual courage, readily admitting error when evidence demands. This epistemic humility builds trust, even as it makes him controversial in politically correct circles where certain questions remain forbidden. Parasites manipulate hosts in remarkable ways. The lancet fluke forces ants to climb grass stalks where grazing animals will eat them. Toxoplasma gondii makes mice attracted to cat urine, ensuring they get eaten and the parasite reaches its feline host. These organisms override survival instincts to ensure transmission. Modern ideological phenomena function identically. Postmodernism rejects objective truth. Radical feminism denies biological sex differences. Social constructivism views humans as blank slates. Combined with cancel culture and identity politics, these ideas override critical thinking and compel hosts to spread them aggressively. This pattern is termed ostrich parasitic syndrome, disordered thinking that makes people bury their heads rather than confront uncomfortable evidence. The infection begins in universities, which simultaneously produce rigorous science and promote anti-truths. During doctoral studies at Cornell in the early 1990s, one encounters both: evolutionary research alongside postmodernist journals publishing incomprehensible nonsense. This biophobia, fear of biological explanations for human behavior, exemplifies how universities reward conformity while punishing innovation. Graduates carry these ideas into media, politics, and corporations, where mechanisms like trigger warnings and safe spaces protect parasitic ideas from criticism. Marketing reveals how emotional and rational systems serve different purposes. Perfume ads engage feelings, while mutual fund commercials target analysis. Problems arise when misapplied, voting from emotion rather than reason, or making financial decisions from impulse. University mottos reference truth and wisdom, never emotion. Yet truth increasingly surrenders to emotional concerns across Western institutions. Dutch parliamentarian Geert Wilders faced prosecution for criticizing Islam. Prosecutors stated, "It is irrelevant whether Wilders' witnesses might prove his observations correct. What's relevant is that his observations are illegal." Truth itself becomes criminal when conflicting with protected sensibilities. This reality prompted a blunt declaration: fuck your feelings. No research question should be off limits. Progressives often adopt consequentialist ethics, altering facts to avoid hurt feelings rather than accepting that truth exists independent of consequences. The 2016 Trump election revealed this dynamic spectacularly. Academics predicted economic collapse and democracy's end, hysterical reactions inspiring satirical videos about imaginary Trump's Jew-hating death squads. Democratic politicians abandoned the presumption of innocence during Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation, believing decades-old accusations despite research questioning eyewitness testimony reliability. When feelings override facts, even foundational legal principles become negotiable. A truly liberal society rests on two essential foundations: guaranteed freedom to debate any idea and unwavering commitment to reason and science. These pillars built Western civilization's greatest achievements, more than competition, property rights, or work ethic. Many Westerners misunderstand free speech. Blocking someone on social media isn't restricting their speech, it's exercising your right not to listen. More concerning is when tech giants like Google, YouTube, Facebook, and Twitter wield more collective power than all the rulers, priests, and politicians of history. These platforms should be regulated as utilities, just as phone companies can't disconnect service based on conversation content. Even more troubling is academic self-censorship. Professors and students fear expressing opinions contrary to progressive orthodoxy, facing lost research positions and forced silence, not in authoritarian regimes, but in North American universities where ideological Stalinism reigns. A 2017 Ryerson University event on campus free speech was itself shut down by protesters. This leads to an absolutist position. Even Holocaust deniers deserve free speech. Satire and mockery serve as powerful tools against falsehoods. Truth withstands ridicule, lies cannot. Gravity doesn't care about your gender. The periodic table remains constant regardless of ethnicity. Science is inherently apolitical. Truths exist independent of researchers' identities. Yet, identity politics increasingly infiltrate scientific institutions. Canada research chairs mandate diversity quotas. The March for Science adopted identity-focused mission statements. When criticized for lacking women speakers at an evolutionary consumption symposium, the response was clear: I don't subscribe to identity politics, and certainly not in science. The critic maintained an all-female research lab while advocating diversity elsewhere. The movement to indigenize university curricula represents a particularly troubling trend. While indigenous peoples accumulated valuable ecological knowledge, elevating traditional ways of knowing to equal epistemological status with the scientific method undermines science's universal nature. The scientific method's strength lies in systematic hypothesis testing, replication, and peer review, independent of cultural context. Polylogism, the notion that different races possess distinct ways of knowing, is fundamentally anti-scientific. Ironically, evolutionary psychology provides a powerful argument against racism by showing how human cognitive architecture evolved through universal selective pressures, producing fundamentally similar minds across all racial groups. Universities should function as intellectual marketplaces where diverse perspectives compete through rigorous debate. Today's ideologically homogeneous universities has become anti-Darwinian cesspools where conformity matters more than truth. The entertainment industry shows a 93-7 Democrat-Republican ratio, academia 90-10, and tech companies show even starker skews. Netflix, 99.6% Democratic donations, Google, 96%. Fighting back requires building nomological networks of cumulative evidence, assembling proof from multiple disciplines to create unassailable cases. Strength comes from convergence across diverse fields, not single studies. Consider men's preference for hourglass figures. Women with 0.7 waist-to-hip ratios show optimal fertility. Escort ads across cultures emphasize these proportions. Ancient Venus figurines display similar ideals. Brain imaging reveals male reward centers activate more strongly to such figures. Most tellingly, congenitally blind men develop identical preferences through touch alone, ruling out visual cultural influence. Multiple evidence streams similarly demolish claims that toy preferences stem from socialization. Newborns show sex-specific tracking. Prenatal testosterone links to masculinized play. Girls with congenital adrenal hyperplasia show masculinized preferences despite typical socialization. Male juvenile chimps prefer wheeled toys while females prefer plush objects. Gender egalitarian Sweden maintains sex-typical preferences. The battle demands courage. Don't self-censor or assume others will defend reason. Social media has democratized platforms. Every voice counts. Real virtue requires cost, not empty gestures. Appeasement never works. Criticizing ideologies doesn't make you bigoted. For decades, idea pathogens from universities have assaulted science, reason, and freedom. The cure? Pursuing truth and recommitting to scientific revolution and enlightenment virtues. In this battle, silence equals surrender.